Over the past year or so, numerous of you have had people very dear to you, people from our congregation, pass into glory. When that happens to someone really close to you, you start looking at passages in the Scripture a little differently. Our culture, for the most part, tries to separate the reality of death and push it aside. For myself, I just last month experienced the death of my mother. Now, since then, I've tried to be in pretty consistent, constant contact with my dad, probably at least one phone call a day, and probably at least one, sometimes two, face-to-face get-togethers a week. And in most of these, the conversation turns eventually towards some aspect of what is Mom experiencing. And what's happened in this is it has exposed to me the reality that there are gaps in my understanding. And has also made me realize I've never really preached in depth at all about heaven. So I'd like to do a mini-series with you. I believe that the reality of heaven, the promises of heaven, the truths of heaven, what we have to look forward to, help us to be victorious in the here and the now. I think a better picture of heaven, a deeper understanding of heaven, a more intense picture of it in our own thinking will help us live moment by moment in a better victorious position. So I encourage you to dig in with me over the next few weeks into an understanding what the Bible teaches us about heaven. We have something to look forward to. We have something to be looking forward to with great joy. And because of that, it'll help us to not only live ourselves in a victorious way, but be an impact upon the people around us. Imagine how much more salty, how much more effective our witness will be as we're excited about what's going to lie ahead of us. As we're anticipating our entry into heaven, that'll cause the people around us to think, why are they excited about this transition? Something that many people are actually afraid of. I do want to let you know that I've been blessed this week as I listened to some sermons and read some material, and I encourage you to look at the same three resources. Colin Smith in his radio ministry called Unlocking the Bible has taught on this week. Strongly endorse his teaching. Randy Alcorn wrote a book called Heaven. Strongly endorse that. Read the Bible. Strongly encourage you to look at what the Bible says about heaven. And a prayer. I encourage you to be praying, asking the Holy Spirit to help you understand what God is saying about heaven. So my thinking has been influenced by those men and, of course, by the Word of God. Hear with me again the words in Luke chapter 23. The picture is Jesus on the cross. It's the Mount Golgotha. It's a place of torture. It's three men in great agony. An innocent man in the middle who has placed upon him all the guilt of all humanity. Two men on the side getting their just due. There's an exchange going on. Luke 23:39. One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, that's Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Think about that simple sentence. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." That's all we have recorded. Now, it's possible he might have said more. It's also possible he said nothing more. What we have recorded is sufficient to communicate what the thief was communicating to Christ. And then we have Christ's response to him. And from Christ's response, we see that what the thief said and what the thief thought, what the thief did inside of his heart, was enough so that Jesus was able, we see that Jesus was able to respond to the thief and give him an amazing promise. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The thief didn't say much. Maybe there was more that was said, but probably doubtful. When you're hanging on a cross, it's hard to talk. When you're hanging on a cross, getting your lungs filled with oxygen, with air, is difficult. It's a painful experience. You can conserve your words when you're hanging on a cross. Probably his mind was racing, as anyone's would be, and there might have been many thoughts going on inside, and Jesus, being God, can discern the thoughts and intentions of one's heart. In doing so, Jesus knew what the guy was thinking, and there was a transition that occurred inside of the thief. Think about how that thief felt immediately after hearing Jesus' words. "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Now, the thief knew. His time was limited. Crucifixion could drag on for hours, sometimes a few days even, but he knew that it wouldn't be forever. The thief knew he was looking at the soon ending of his life. So when Jesus says to him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," there was great encouragement, great joy associated with those words. Think with me about the significance of each of those words. "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Today. Today. Jesus did not say, "Hey, sometime down the road, you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus said, "Today." Today, immediately, immediacy, right now, soon and very soon. He didn't say that he's going to have this long period of soul sleep and then eventually when the end of time all wraps up, then this guy would be reawakened and there'd be this reunion that occurs. The promise was, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So when you think about the loved ones that you have said goodbye to, and where they are, Jesus' promise is that when a loved one in Christ dies, they are immediately in the presence of Christ. That should bring us tremendous joy for the ones we care for, tremendous joy for ourselves as you think about our future with Christ. There is an immediacy of our encountering Christ. Sometimes we sing an old hymn called Soon and Very Soon, we are going to what? See the Lord. We don't say, sometime down the road in some ancient millennium, we're going to see the Lord. It is a soon thing. Whenever our last breath occurs, we are translated into the presence of Christ. So there's an immediacy. Today, you will be with me in paradise. When you, your loved one, who belongs to Christ, dies, they see Christ. Look at that phrase, will be. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Will be. Jesus gave the thief a promise. Jesus did not say, hey, I hope this works out. I hope my plan works. I'm really hoping I played my cards right. Jesus had a certainty of what he had planned and how God's salvific history was working. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen to himself, and he knew exactly what was going to happen to the thief. So he could say, today you will be with me in paradise. There's a certainty to it. He could start that sentence off by saying, truly I say to you, truly I say this to you, this is the truth. There's a promise that comes from Christ, and there's nothing stronger than a promise from Christ. When Christ promises that something's going to happen, we know it's going to happen. So not only do we have this promise of it being an immediate thing, we have this promise that it's a certainty that's going to happen. Christ said it. I believe it. It's a done deal. It's written in the Word of God. It's a for sure thing. It will be done. Notice the word paradise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. What a wonderful word. Paradise. Perfection. A place of all the best we could imagine. Better than Mall of America. Better than Wendy's house. Better than the pool. Better than the fair. Perfection beyond our wildest imagination. The word that's used in the New Testament is the same word that's used in the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, for the Garden of Eden. Paradise. Garden of Eden. Same word used. As beautiful as you can imagine the Garden of Eden being, paradise is that and more. One of the questions my dad had a couple weeks ago is, what's mom doing right now? One aspect of that question was, does she have a body or is she just a spirit? And so I went to this point. I said, you know, I really think that she is in a spot like the Garden of Eden. And that really brought encouragement to my dad because my mom was such an avid gardener. And the idea of my mom being in a garden encouraged my dad. So I really believe my mom is gardening. She's in a Garden of Eden. She's in paradise. And if you think about the Garden of Eden, how it's described there, they have a place that's beautiful, a place that they have a role to play, a place that they have meaningful work to do. One of the books I read, I think it was Randy Alcorn's book, talked about how some people dread the idea of heaven because they picture it as being eons and eons of boredom. And maybe you've had that concept. We're just going to drift aimlessly on clouds, maybe strumming a harp once in a while. Or that's going to be an endless earth service. think I'll just leave that there. The Garden of Eden was full of wonder, full of enjoyment, full of beauty. Again, I think it was Randy Alcorn's book talked about how in Mark Twain's writing, he talks about Miss Watson explaining heaven to Tom Sawyer, and Tom asked if Huck Finn would be there. Miss Watson said, "Oh no, Huck Finn's not going to be there." So Tom Sawyer says, "Oh, I don't want to be there then." But if heaven is paradise, if paradise is like the Garden of Eden, and Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn love running around the woods and the rivers and the wild places, then I think the Garden of Eden and paradise would be a place that Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn would love to be. It's not a place of boredom. It's a place of the greatest joy imaginable. A place where there's things to discover and things to do and things that make one fulfilled. It's paradise. Nothing could be better. Now, there's an aspect that's really important here. What happened in the Garden of Eden? God came down to be with humanity. God entered His creation to be with His created beings, to commune with them, to converse with them, to be with them. Human beings were not translated up into God's ethereal presence. God chose to enter into His creation to be with His created beings. And so paradise, heaven, would be something God makes where He chooses to be with His people. Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Just as God walked with Adam and Eve, the beauty of paradise is that Jesus is with them, with the thief, with the followers of Christ, with the people of faith, with those who have chosen to receive the gift of Christ and respond in faith to what God has done. One of the things that can confuse people is the idea that there are some portions of Scripture that talk about how things are going to be when everything's wrapped up. When the new Jerusalem is created, when heaven descends to be the new earth, when all of time is completed. So we really need to think about there being two stages of heaven. A temporal time that those who have died in Christ are now at, and then the eventual experience of heaven that comes when Christ wraps everything up. There is a temporal time being when not everything is fulfilled yet. It's still in God's presence. It's still beyond our wildest imagination of beauty and greatness and wonder. It's still a time when we're with Him, and it's going to be glorious. But something even greater awaits when everything is completed. The beauty, though, is that it's with Christ, with Him. Yes, there will be joy in being united with loved ones, but the beauty of a family, the beauty of a husband-wife relationship, all those take their meaning as they are shadows of what Christ has created for us. Christ is the bridegroom. God is our Father. Human relationships are mere shadows of the beauty of our relationship with God. As great as they are, they really pale in comparison to what God has for us. And so we're going to enjoy one another who are in Christ, but it's with Him that we'll receive our greatest joy. Today you'll be with me in paradise. There's one word I've left off. Did you catch it? I left off the word you. Can we talk about that word a little bit? It's the word you. Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus hung on a cross and said that statement to a particular man in a particular location at a particular time in history. That thief heard those words. And he responded in faith. But there's a reason why Scripture records its words. Why do you think Scripture says, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? Why was that statement recorded and passed down for now almost 2,000 years? So that everyone since then could hear that statement. Today you'll be with me in paradise. True for that thief, but it can also be true for each and every one who hears the voice of Christ calling through the Scriptures. Scriptures are there for you to have an encounter with Christ yourself. You might not be hanging on a cross, but the reality of it is that just as that thief was getting his just due for his life of sin and struggle and rebellion, so we are all deserving of our own punishments. We are all hanging. We are all suspended. And we're all in need of a Savior who could hear us say, "Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me." For the thief, it wasn't a very long sentence. And for you and for me, it might not be a really long sentence either. But it is something that comes up out of one's heart. For the one who's already placed their trust in Christ, hearing these words where Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," can bring joy and a sense of awe that God has offered this to us. For the one that has not yet said yes to Christ and not yet invited Christ to wash away all their sins and not yet bowed their knees before Christ, that statement is an invitation. It's an invitation to receive from Christ what He offers to hanging thieves. Notice what Christ did not say. Christ didn't say to that thief hanging on the cross, "Hey, why don't you go home, spend the next year demonstrating your worthiness? Why don't you go home and spend the next year conquering lust and greed and anger and selfishness?" He didn't say that for two reasons. He couldn't get off the cross, he couldn't go home, and he couldn't spend a whole year being successful over his sins, because nobody can. No, Jesus said, "I take sinners. I take ones who are recognizing their inability to set themselves free. I take ones who know they're stuck. I take ones who know they can't rescue themselves." And so Jesus says to each and every one of us, if you want to be rescued, ask to be rescued. So I invite you this morning, would you admit you're a thief hanging on a cross beside Jesus and simply turn and say, "Lord, I need to hear you say, 'Today I will be with you in paradise'"? Let's pray. Lord, pour out the gift of faith this morning. Help each one of us to recognize your promise. Cause each heart this morning to be able to turn towards you in faith. We know we're dangling thieves. We know we can't go home and clean ourselves up. We know we're desperate for you to extend grace to us. forgiveness to us. So, Lord, would you look at us and would you speak to us individually, one by one? We place our lives in your hands. We place our faith in you and what you've accomplished. We say yes to your sacrificial death on the cross, a sinless, perfect life poured out to pay for all the sins of all of us who weren't sinless and perfect. Come and wash us clean by the power of your shed blood. Come and transform us by your redemptive work. Come and put your very self in us by the power of your Holy Spirit now living inside of us. Come, Holy Spirit. Open our ears to hear your promise. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Help us to see that that is our destiny. That is what we look forward to. That is what you offer to each and every one of your children. By faith, we grab hold of it. And now, Lord, as we journey forward from this day, increase our understanding of the reality of heaven. May it become an ever-increasing vision in our own mind's eyes. May the scriptures that talk about heaven become more and more real to us, so that it overwhelms the mundaneness of our day-to-day life, so that we live with anticipation and excitement, and so that our eagerness to meet you bubbles out of us and affects the people around us. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.